بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا أمة بعد أمته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable brothers and elders in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hidayat and guidance for each one of us to be on Sirat-e Mustaqim is our heartfelt desire that we strike right and we be on the right road heading towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's a dua we recite, it's a dua we make in every rakat of salah. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, O my Allah, guide me to the Sirat-e-Mustaqim, the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered each one of us to follow Quran and Hadith. When we follow Quran and Hadith, then this will be a means of us attaining the salvation, the ultimate success, and being on Sirat-e-Mustaqim. That being in its place that we follow Quran and Hadith, but the Quran itself explains to us that how do we attain the Sirat-e-Mustaqim, what's the direction, the plan of action, how do we attain Sirat-e-Mustaqim. So in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, that we make dua for Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Immediately after that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala defines for each one of us how to attain, how to recognize Sirat-e-Mustaqim. So what is Sirat-e-Mustaqim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then further goes on to explain, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, that Sirat-e-Mustaqim is the path of those people whom I have blessed. So the path of a people. So yes, Quran and Hadith is for us to follow. But the most important thing for each one of us is to have a mentor and a guide who will take us onto the road of Quran and Hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent approximately 120,000 Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. So the number of Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, 120,000. Yet the Kutub Samawiya, the holy scriptures from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, are the four main ones that we all know. Quran, Hadith, Injil, Zabur. Yes, Suhufi Ibrahim wa Musa, certain Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam did enjoy the benefit of certain holy scriptures. But if you look at the number of kutub that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, there are four main books and a few scriptures. But the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam are 120,000 in number approximately. So the lesson for us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many a times had sent a Nabi without a kitab. That the Nabi came, there was no kitab. Yes, there was a sharia, but there was no heavenly scripture. But never ever did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala send a scripture without a Nabi. Never ever did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send a scripture, reveal any book, without a personality. For this reason, our success has been guaranteed in the Quran Kareem. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. You will express your love for Allah, your love for the Quran. You will have this desire for Akhirat. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces, tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the people, if they want that Sirat-e-Mustaqim, they are expressing that love for me, then فَاتَّبِعُونِي, you'll have to follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he is that practical embodiment of the Qur'an Kareem. He's a person, his life will bring you on Qur'an Kareem. Not each one of us, not every one of us is vested or capable enough to extract every law of the Qur'an Kareem. Imam Shafi rahimahullah, one day a person comes and asks him a question. Now with his deep knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with, he sat, he did not know the answer. So he was in his house for 3 days. What did he do? After 3 days he comes to the person, he says, you asked me a question, I've got the answer for you. So the person says, after 3 days you got the answer? He says, I read the entire Qur'an Kareem with tadabbur, with tafakkur, with contemplation and reflection. I read the entire Qur'an, ma bayna daffatayn, from cover to cover. On the first day I was looking for your answer, I did not find it. He says, second day I read the entire Qur'an. In one day I read the entire Qur'an, from cover to cover. I still couldn't find your answer. He says, the third day when I recited, I gave it more contemplation, more thought, dua to Allah. Allah inspired me the answer being hidden in one of the ayat of the Qur'an. It was hidden in one ayah, I have found it. So each one of us are not capable to do things of this capacity, of this degree. So it's for this reason we are asked to follow people who are on the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. And one such personality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed this ummah with was Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah. To understand the status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah with, one day his slave girl, the slave girl rather of the king of the time, Harun al-Rashid, they were at Raqqa, name of a place in Sham. And the slave girl hears some commotion, some noises, some rushing. So she goes to the edge, of the wall. She looks down and she sees there's a cloud of dust that's hovering over a crowd of people that are rushing in a direction. So she doesn't understand what's happening. She finds out, what's the commotion all about? So they say, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah is passing Raqqa unannounced. People did not know, they heard about it. They just want to have a glimpse and a glance of who is this great towering personality. When she hears this, that people are rushing just to see him, only to have a glimpse of him, she says, Wallahi hadha al-malik, I know I am the slave girl of the king of the time, Harun al-Rashid, but wallahi, he is the king, Abdullah bin Mubarak. He has to be the king. Because my king, he has captured land. But this king, he has captured the hearts of the people of the land. That they just want to see who is with Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimullah. There was the dark side of the life of Abdullah bin Mubarak initially. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us tawfiq. One is we are involved in a sin and you don't see it, consider it to be a sin. There's no hope of tawbah. No possibility. You are sick. You can see yourself going to the toilet more than often. You're not having a peaceful night's sleep. It's not peaceful. So, you can feel yourself being tied down, held down. You just can't pick up yourself. But when you just want to be in denience. And you say, no man, why must I go to the doctor? He'll want to operate and they want to take me to theater. And then it's so much of an expense. Forget about it, I'll just live the life. Well, you're not going to enjoy that quality of life if you're going to live that life of denials. That there's nothing wrong with me. You're denying it. So if there's going to be denial, you're not going to go anywhere. But when you go to the doctor and you say, listen, you do what you need to do. He does the x-ray, he does the bloods. And whatever he says, you take measures and steps in the right direction, Allah will give shifa. Similar is our life. If you're going to live a life of denial, this can't be a sin. What the Mawlanas know? This year now, they're not involved in business. This can be permissible. There is certain options and leeways. But you can't be so rigid in life. We have to enjoy. I mean, dunya is once. So the kafir will say you're going to live once. The Muslim will say you're going to die once. Therefore, prepare for the death.
Be as it may, Abdullah bin Mubarak, there was a dark side, but he made tawbah. How was it the tawbah? It was divine from Allah. When he was enjoying himself, merrymaking, drinking alcohol with the woman, music, and he was enjoying himself with the friends, having a party and a ball of a time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he woke up in the morning and the guitar was in his hand. And he's playing the guitar in that state of intoxication, intoxicated. But the moment his eyes wake up, he's playing the guitar. When he plays it, he says, no, that's not my tune. It's wrong. He stops. He starts again. He says, this is not the tune that I know. But he continues playing and he says, what is this tune? And then as he plays it, he hears the words of Quran Kareem coming out. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has the time not come for the believers that they submit before the commands of Allah? Has the time not come, O believers, for how long you're going to live a life in disobedience to that Allah who's taking care of your needs beyond your expectation? So when he hears this, he says, Bala ya Rabbi qad an? You asking me if the time has come? Most definitely the time has come. He breaks the guitar. He throws the wine out and immediately he makes tawbah, makes steps in the right directions and he works towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But he makes tawbah. So one is that he makes tawbah. Number two, owing to his tawbah and hidayat, was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with the father. Father's name was Mubarak, Abdullah bin Mubarak. Mubarak, rahimahullah, he was a servant that used to work in an orchard. One day the master comes and he says, oh Mubarak, do me a favor. I want you to bring for me rumman and halwan. I want a sweet pomegranate. So Mubarak goes, the father, looks for a nice red pomegranate, plucks it, gives it to the master, presents it to him. Master cuts it, tastes it, and he says, فَوَجَدَهُ حَامِضًا. This is utterly bitter. Excuse me, I'm asking for a sweet one. Mubarak goes back to the orchard, tries another tree, maybe something that's more deep red in color. Brings that one. The master cuts it. This is equally bitter. He says, excuse me, simple English I'm talking. Simple. I am asking you for a sweet pomegranate. He goes back and he tries one more tree and he plucks the most beautiful he could ever think in that orchard. Master cuts it, it's bitter. He says, what don't you understand? I'm asking you for a sweet pomegranate, this is bitter. So what does the father Mubarak reply? He says, ma akaltu min. I haven't eaten from this garden hatta a'rifa, that I may know what is a sweet pomegranate from a bitter one. He says, how many years are you working for me? He says, 20 years. He says, 20 years, even one that fell on the floor, you didn't eat it? You never one day felt for it? Maybe a desire came, I'm working for this man, it's got such expensive, fruit. And let me even taste one. He wouldn't even know if one is missing. He says, how can I do that when I don't have permission from you? Today the person in the secretary, or working for a company, then we'll pick up the company phone and we'll make our own personal calls. You need to do a booking because you're going for Umrah. You will phone the travel agent with that phone. You don't have to waste your minutes. I only got 200 minutes for the month. So you don't want to waste that. But do you have permission to pick up that phone and to make that call? If you don't have permission for that, you think you're going on ibadat, but you're going to get sin in the court of Allah. You think you're going for Umrah, but there's sin in that ibadat of yours. Allah protect us. So this quality of amana, trustworthiness, was there in the life of the father, which eventually owed to the hidayat of the son, because the fruit, but the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimullah, Aswad bin Asim, he says that kana ibn al-Mubarak imaman yuqtada bihi. I lived in the era, I was a contemporary of Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimullah. He says he was an imam and a role model to be followed. But he says, you know why? Not because Allah gifted him with the gift of the gab. Allah didn't bless him with anything else. He says, the reason I say he's a role model, كان من أثبت الناس في السنة. He was the most strongest of followers of the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sunnah was deep entrenched in his life. He is a role model because he is living the life. He is walking the talk. He has to be the role model for the entire ummah. So this is the gauge for each one of us. Not the speech of a person. Not anything besides how close is his life to the sunnah, the mubarak tariqah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is a person that can be classified or qualified person to be a role model for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimullah, he was alhamdulillah mastery in every science. One day the friends got together. Fadl bin Musa, Makhlad bin Hussein, towering scholars of the time got together. And they said, listen, Ta'al, let's start counting the good qualities of Abdullah bin Mubarak. Allah forgive if our friends have to get together and say, let's count the qualities of our friend. We know better what they will miss out. We know better on the evil qualities within ourselves they don't even know about. So Allah forgive, they started counting his good deeds. One person says he's a mujahid of the time. Next person says that he is the greatest Amirul Mu'mineen fil hadith. He's second to none in the science of hadith. And everyone found him to be a master in the science he was involved in. That was the life of Abdullah bin Mubarak. So that knowledge that Allah had blessed him with was such a quality. One day he was in front of his ustad, Sufyan bin Uyayna rahimahullah. So it's natural, sometimes you have an affinity, you have a relationship, association with a certain alim. Irrespective of who's around, you want to ask that Mawlana the question. So be as it may, his ustad was next to him, person from the community comes, and he says, oh Abdullah bin Mubarak, I've got a question for you. Abdullah bin Mubarak says, لَقَدْ نُهِينَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَا عِنْدَ أَكَابِرِنَا. My ustad is here. How do I have the audacity to speak in his presence? You got a question, you ask him. You want to ask me, you ask me in his absence, not in his presence. Out of respect for my ustad, I will not speak in his presence. Out of respect for this person who taught me the Quran, who taught me the ahadith. So what will give us that respect, that acceptance in the court of Allah? When we respect the Quran, the ahadith and the personalities and the people who have sacrificed their lives for the understanding of Quran and hadith, for the imam of the masjid, for the Mawlana who's teaching our son in the hifz class, and for the apa who's teaching our daughter in the maktab, when we have total respect for them, then Allah will bless our family and our household with the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah, this is the time generally lot of people have been accredited for Hajj and they are embarking, choosing the different agents, packages, going for Hajj. What was the package in the time of Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimullah? Subhanallah. Abdullah bin Mubarak used to announce to the people in his era, in his area, in Maru. He used to make an announcement, whoever has got an intention to go for Umrah, please come to me and bring your money, your savings. So people used to come and they used to bring their savings. So he used to ask the person, gee brother, what is your name? So he says, Muhammad. He will write Muhammad bin Fulan. He will tie a note and he will put it into a drawer or into a chest and he would lock it up. Person would come, Ismail. No problem. The amount of money, tie it up and he'll keep the bundle. And he'll say, see, on a certain date I am embarking on this journey of Hajj. I will make an announcement. I want you to all assemble at this masjid of mine and we will all will head inshallah and go on this journey for Hajj to Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara. So the people used to announcement used to be made, people would come. So whoever had their money, that money used to be kept. And he would travel with the entire group and entourage of his. Wherever he went, he said, excuse me, I've got your money. So all expenses are found. Food, drink, accommodation, shopping, whatever it may be, it's upon me. You've given me your money. So the last city they would come before entering Medina Tayyiba, Medina Munawwara, then Abdullah bin Mubarak used to tell the people, go shopping. Go buy the best kurta that you can find. Best clothing. People used to buy the best of clothing in the market. And then he would announce, whatever is the account, come to me and I will settle all accounts. He will settle all the accounts. People will think, yeah, we gave him our savings. So therefore he's paying for it. So he used to pay for everyone. And he'll tell them, we are going into the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wear your best clothing when you stand in front of Sardaria, in front of Tajdari Medina, in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their best clothing. So they would wear their best. Come to Medina Munawwara. I'm sure you must be got some list from home. Buy certain things. People would say, yeah, we've got some list. We have to buy certain things. Maybe the wife asked for a bidun ism cloak, maybe sharkiya scarf, or maybe they need some certain kajur or whatever. People used to go and buy. He would settle everyone's account. Go to Makkah Mukarramah, accommodation, food, drink, travel, everything is paid for. When he comes back, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimullah, on one of the days he would announce and he say, listen, there's going to be a reunion of the Hujjaj. The dawat is on me, I'm paying for it. Everyone would come to his house. Dastar Khan used to be spread. He used to feed everyone from his own pocket. And then he will open up that drawer in which the money was kept. He will take out bundle of money by time and he would call, Ismail, this is your money. Muhammad, this is your parcel. People will say, but that's for our Hajj. You see, I only asked you to bring your money to see that you have a genuine intention to set out on this journey. That's all I needed. But all expenses are on me. I need the reward of your Hajj. And he would pay for everyone's Hajj. And the amount of money he used to carry was not a small amount. On one of his journeys, Hajj Abdullah bin Mubarak sets out on this journey. They come to a certain place. One person is carrying a bird with him. So this bird dies. Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahimullah, tells the person, there's the dump, not very far off. Take this bird and go and bury the bird. So as this person is heading in that direction, he sees a tent in the distance. And there's a peep every now and then from the tent. When they notice someone is looking, they're closing the tent. Abdullah bin Mubarak hides himself, conceals, and then he looks. He says, okay, there's someone that's peeping, watching us. And this person buries his bird, comes back. Abdullah bin Mubarak is still watching. He suddenly sees a girl that darts out of the house. She runs and she goes to the dump. She scrambles a little, finds a spot. She digs and she runs. He realizes that she has dug that bird and taken it back. Abdullah bin Mubarak rushes, knocks on the door. Excuse me, who are you? She says, this is who I am. Who's in the house? Well, it's only me and my sister. What did you do? Well, I just dug something and I need food. But do you know that's carrion? Carrion? Well, that is carrion for you and haram for you, halal for me. Because my parents have passed away. The inheritance has been usurped by our uncles and relatives. My sister and I live in poverty. We've got nothing to survive on. Abdullah Mubarak says, Allahu Akbar. Carrion. She's eating carrion and that is haram for us, halal for her. Abdullah Mubarak calls the treasurer. He says, excuse me, how much money do we have for this journey? He says, we have carried 1,000 golden coins. Dinar, golden coins. In today's time, approximately without inflation, 2.6 million rand. Without inflation, 2.6 million rand. So he says, okay, how much do we require to go back? Treasurer says, we need 20 golden coins. He says, take out 20, give me 980 golden coins. He took all 980, he gave it to this girl. He says, this is my gift to you. The priority of my life now is to look after you rather than spoiling myself on a nafal hajj. Let me go back home. And he goes back home. He says that there is a Muslim person from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What face am I going to show Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Knowing very well that the ummati is suffering. Ummati, sometimes Allah forgive, the people working for us are suffering we know not. And we're trying to squeeze however much we can. Instead of giving a 10% increase, we'll give a 7, maybe a 6. We're trying to squeeze as much as possible and upgrade our life to the best possible. How are we going to answer in front of Allah? So he quickly goes back and he gives that money. Such was the generosity of Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimullah when a person comes. So yes, Allah blessed him with wealth. Allah blessed him. He had a lot. But he said that my love and my heart is not in that money. The faster it comes, the faster it goes. As fast as it comes, that's how fast that money leaves my account equally. Malik Patel rahmatullah Ali used to say, example, this building, we open up one window, the air is going to come in. That's all, and it's going to get locked in this area. He says, open that window and open this window also. He says, you'll have a cross ventilation and you'll have a breeze going through the masjid, through this building. He says, we only open up one door of collection. We've forgotten of opening the door of generosity and giving to Allah. When you open the door to give Allah, Allah will give more. He'll give us more. So a person comes, he says, Wallah, Abdullah bin Mubarak, I've got a debt I need to settle. He says, how much? He says, 700 dirhams, 700 coins. So he says, no problem, I wrote a note, go to my treasurer, give it to him, he'll give you the money. So the person goes, hands it over to the treasurer, he looks at it, what do you need? He says, no, I've got a debt and I spoke to Abdullah bin Mubarak. So how much did you require? He says, 700 dirhams. He says, no, there's a mistake here. Let me go back to him. What's the mistake? There's one extra zero. So he comes back to Abdullah bin Mubarak. He says, I think so you made a mistake. I spoke to the man. He says, 700, you wrote 7,000. He says, since when am I working for you? You are working for me. I wrote something you must do as written. Who asked you to investigate? For that, go and give him 14,000 dirhams. He says, but hold on. The man asked for 700. You wrote 7,000. I'm asking you, querying. You're saying 14,000. You give him more. Abdullah bin Mubarak says, I wanted to treat him with an unexpected amount so Allah can reward me on the day of Qiyamah with unexpected rewards. You ask, imagine if Allah has to give me reward, reward for amal, reward for amal, where will I be? If it's not for the fadl and the virtue of Allah, where will I stand? What rank will I reach? I had to do something extraordinary. I had to go the extra mile. Don't ask questions. Do as commanded. Abdullah bin Mubarak, Allahu Akbar. He says, لَأَنْ أَرُدَّ دِرْهَمًا مِنْ شُبْهَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَتَصَدَّقَ بِمِئَةِ أَلْفٍ وَمِئَةِ أَلْفٍ حَتَّى بَلَغَ سِتَّ مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ. He says, if I've got one dirham, one ran out of doubtful sources, I'd rather return that and give it away to its owner or wherever it belongs, rather than me giving 600,000 coins in the path of Allah. Because barakah is in wholesome money. That shubha will never give me barakah in life. Doesn't belong to me. It's not for me. It's incorrect. It's usurped. I'd rather give it to its owner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, grant us the ability to bring within ourselves the qualities of Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimullah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.